Well, right now, a lot of things are on hold. Haircuts are on hold. Gym memberships are on hold. Classes are on hold. And we're in a season of waiting. But the Bible tells us to redeem the time. In other words, we have to make the most of the time that we have. And right now, though there are a lot of things that you can't do, there are some things you can do. And my job today, as we talk about faith, is to challenge you to get started on some of those things. Because you will never finish what you don't start. God sent me here this morning to tell somebody that it's time to get started. Because all of us have things that God has called us to do. There are things that I know God has put in your heart to do that you haven't even started yet. All of us have things that God is saying, I want you to get started on that. Maybe it's getting in shape and honoring God with your lifestyle. I'm in shape, it's just the wrong shape. I told somebody last Sunday, they were talking about exercise. I said, yeah, the doctor told me that I needed to do 30 crunches a day. They said, well, what did you say to him? I said, well, that's a lot of chocolate, but I'll do my best. Maybe it's getting in shape. Maybe it's honoring God with your body. Maybe it's the restoration of a relationship that needs to be mended. Maybe God's been dealing with you about a new career path, or there's a ministry that God has put in your heart to do, or maybe God's been leading you to change your priorities. There are things that God has called each of us to do, and this season is a time of new beginnings. Today, as we look at the life of Moses in the Bible, we're going to learn how to simply get started. Look back with me at Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Oh, sin is fun, but it's only fun for a season. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. What an incredible statement. Moses is in the hall of fame of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the who's who of the Bible. It is a list of men and women of remarkable faith as people that are examples to you and me. And this is very important for you to understand because this is where Moses ended, but it's not where he began. Moses ended as a man of great faith, but that's not his beginning. So let me give you the backstory about Moses. Moses was born into a Hebrew family at a time when the Hebrew people, the Israelites, were enslaved by the Egyptians. They were forced into hard labor, working under harsh conditions under the Egyptian rulers. And to make things worse, Moses was born at a time when Pharaoh of Egypt was getting nervous about the rapid population growth of the Israelites. He was so afraid that the Hebrew population would become so large that they would outlast and overthrow Egypt. So Pharaoh decides to have all the male Hebrew babies thrown into the Nile River. Listen to me. When ungodly people are in authority, innocent children die. Did you hear that this morning? When ungodly people are in authority, innocent children die. Have you noticed that? We see that in the Bible with Pharaoh in the Old Testament, with King Herod in the New Testament. We see it with Adolf Hitler in World War II. We see it today with abortion. That's not political, by the way. That's biblical. When the wicked rule, the innocent die. And Pharaoh ordered the Hebrew babies to be killed. But Moses' mother, a woman named Jochebed, took her son and she put him in a basket to protect him and send him down the Nile River. Jochebed is an example of how sometimes we have to put our children in God's hands. And we'll talk about that a little bit more next Sunday. But she let go of her child. She entrusted it to God. And by the hand of God, Moses floated down the Nile River to the place where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing. She found the basket, she took the baby into her house, and raised him as her own child for 40 years. So we have a Hebrew baby growing up in an Egyptian household. And Moses was trained in Egyptian ways. He was educated in Egyptian schools, considered the best in the ancient world. He had the finest clothes. He had the finest foods. He had 22s on his chariot. He grew up in a lavish environment. But one day, when he was 40 years old, he was out overseeing a job for Pharaoh when he witnesses an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew slave. So Moses steps in to defend the Hebrew, and he kills the Egyptian. And then the next day, two Israelites are arguing, and Moses jumps in and says, "Brothers, why are you fighting each other?" And one of them says to Moses, "Who made you our judge? What you gonna do, kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" Uh-oh. Got him. You see, Moses thought he had gotten away with it. He had hid the evidence, but he got busted. You see, what is done in secret will be revealed. It's like the little girl who got bad grades on her report card, so she thought she would sign it herself. So she signed it, "Mama," and she got found out. Moses thought his secret was safe, but apparently word travels fast in Egypt because even Pharaoh found out, so Moses fled for his life. Here is Moses on the run, and he ended up in a place called Midian, which is basically the middle of nowhere. So Moses ends up in Fremont, and Moses starts a new life. He gets married. He starts a family. And get this, Moses has a son, and he names his son Gershom, which means "I'm a foreigner in a foreign land." Think about that. How much of your identity has to be tied up in being a foreigner in a foreign land that you name your child "foreigner in a foreign land"? That's like naming your baby "I hate Goldsboro," okay? He literally named his son "I am a foreigner in a foreign land." Think about it. Moses has spent his entire life in places where he did not belong. He was an Israelite. He was born in Egypt, but he didn't belong in Egypt. Here he was living in Midian, but he didn't belong in Midian. And some of you know good and well that you don't belong in the place where you are right now. I'm not talking about at Generation Church. I'm talking about the lifestyle you're living, the people that you're spending time with, the things that you're participating in. I'm talking about your complacency when it comes to the things of God, or your lack of passion in worship, or the lack of power when you pray, or the lack of hunger for the Word of God, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know that that's not where you belong, because your destiny, your calling, your identity, your purpose is so much greater than the level where you're living right now. You don't belong there, and there is coming a time when you've got to get up and start moving towards your God-given purpose. And child of God, today is that day. Somebody say, today is the day. You see, Moses had a wake-up moment. Somebody's having a wake-up moment this morning. Moses had a moment where God shook him up and said, "Moses, today is the day. You don't belong here anymore." Moses was out guarding his flock of sheep when he noticed a strange thing. He looked up on the mountain, and on the mountain there was a bush that was on fire, but it wasn't burning up. It was just covered in flames. So Moses went over to investigate, and he found out that God was trying to get his attention. Moses and God have a conversation on the mountain, and God says to him, "I'm sending you back to Egypt." And Moses said, "Say what now, God?" Hold on, time out. You want me to go where? I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. Where do you want me to go? You see, not only did God tell him to go back to Egypt, but God told Moses to go and command Pharaoh to let the Israelites go free. Think for a moment. We're talking about millions of people that were the backbone of the Egyptian economy. And God sends Moses to tell Pharaoh, excuse me, let my people go, all of them. God gives Moses a pretty big assignment, wouldn't you say? He calls Moses to do some very big things. And Moses, like any of us, is intimidated by God's plans for his life. Maybe you find yourself at a crossroads today. Maybe you're intimidated like Moses was that day on the mountain. Well, I've got three steps of faith to help you start towards your God-appointed assignment today. So y'all hold up three fingers. Hold up three fingers. Not one, three. Come on, three fingers. Because there are three things you've got to do today. Number one is start where you are. It is so simple, yet so profound. This is the step that most people miss, and that's why they never accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. You've got to get step one. Start where you are. If you're ever going to do what God is telling you to do, you have to start where you are. Think about it. Moses was not in Egypt when God called him to confront Pharaoh. Maybe you feel like you're too far away from the place where God wants you to be. The truth is, you have to start somewhere. It might as well be right where you are right now. Moses was about as far away from Egypt as he could possibly get, but in order for Moses to get where God called him to go, he had to start where he was in Midian. I think about when I was a teenager, our church youth group, we went on a white water rafting trip, and it was one and done for me. One time was enough. I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. But we were on this whitewater raft, and the rafting guy, the river guide, he told us, he said, listen, I will steer you to safety on one condition. You have to row. He said, if we're just going along with the rapids, we're going to be in trouble. But as long as you're rowing faster than the rapids, as long as you're going faster than the status quo, I can steer you and guide you. And I can just hear God speaking to us today. I will guide you. I will keep you from danger. I will lead you to where I'm calling you to go if you'll just start walking, if you'll just start moving forward. In Jesus' name, you'll never finish what you don't start. And I don't care how big or small of a step you take, you need to start where you are. Moses was intimidated by the thing that God asked him to do. And by the way, if you're not intimidated by your destiny, then it's not God's destiny for your life. God said in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God operates on a level that can be intimidating to us at times. Moses was intimidated. There were still wanted posters with his picture plastered all over Egypt. I'm sure he was thinking, they're going to kill me as soon as I show up there. So Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Egypt and set the Israelites free? And God says something powerful to Moses. God says, it's not about who you are, it's about who I am. Moses, I will be with you. And that's the wonderful thing about serving God, is that our confidence doesn't come from who we are. Our confidence comes from who our God is. And God said, I will be with you. It doesn't matter how intimidating the call, how intimidating the mountain, the obstacle before you. It doesn't matter who I am. It matters who He is. And if He is with me, I can do it in Jesus' name. I love Romans 8:31. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Some of you need to get a hold of that this morning, because I know somebody's being held hostage by the past. You feel guilty for the things you've done and the things you've said and for the mistakes you've made. Listen to me. If God can use Moses, He can use you. When it comes to your destiny, it doesn't matter where you've been. The only thing that matters is God is with you now, and he will never leave you. God was sending Moses into a hostile environment. Egypt was not a friendly place for Moses. It was a dangerous place. But when we look at the life of Moses, we learn this principle. Doesn't matter where you are as long as you know who you're with. Oh, I'm going to say that again. It doesn't matter where you are as long as you know who you're with. God promised Moses, I will be with you. Number one, start where you are. Number two, use what you have. Moses felt ill-prepared to do what God was sending him to do. Moses said, God, I have nothing. And God says an interesting thing to Moses. Moses, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Moses looked down and he said, I have a shepherd's staff. Exodus 4, verse 2, the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand, a shepherd's staff? Moses replied, now don't miss this because it's powerful. Why did Moses have a shepherd's staff in his hand? Because he was working as a shepherd. There was nothing special about the shepherd's staff. It wasn't something that Moses picked up because he knew that he was going to a meeting with God. It was just an ordinary staff that he used to do his job. And here's the incredible thing about God. When we take something that seems ordinary and we step out in faith and obey God, God can take that ordinary thing and do something extraordinary with it. Moses' staff was just an ordinary stick, but Moses used what he had, and God did miracle after miracle with a simple shepherd's staff. It was that staff that God used to turn into a serpent as a sign to Pharaoh. It was that staff that turned the Nile to blood. It was that staff that parted the Red Sea so they could cross on dry land. It was that staff that struck the rock at Horeb so that the water came out. It was that staff that Moses held up and they defeated their enemies. God can do miracles if we simply use what we have. It doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be a lot. Whatever you have, that's the thing that God uses. So I want to ask you today, what do you have in your hand? Because we all have something God can use. If God can use an old stick to part the Red Sea, he can certainly use what you have. You might not have much, but when that's all you have, that's all God needs. Jesus was preaching to a multitude of people, and they started getting hungry. And a little boy, all he had was a Happy Meal, but he offered Jesus what he had. And Jesus took what this little boy offered him, and God multiplied it and fed 5,000. Little is much when God is in it. When it's all you have, it's all God needs. Start where you are. Use what you have. And my wife is going to come with our last point today.
Start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. God doesn't expect us to do the miracles. What he expects is for us to do what we can and to trust God with the rest. God didn't expect for Moses to part the Red Sea. What he expected for him to do was to have the faith to raise that staff. And in the moment of faith, when he raised the staff, is when the sea parted. So God's not expecting you to perform the miracle, but he's expecting you to be obedient with what he has placed in your hands. Moses was so scared of failure, so he kept asking God for a list of things. He kept giving reasons. God, I can't do it because I have a stutter. God, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. And God said, no, you can't do it, but I can. I can use you. And God is waiting to use you. He's just waiting for your obedience to be used. It's okay to start small. So often we just want to come with the big picture and be at this point. But God said, you have to start small. Nowhere in life have we not started off small. When we began here, we started with 60 people. That was big to us. But in the vision that God has casted into us, that's small. Because God has given us a bigger vision. What if we would have stopped there? But no, we kept pushing forward because of obedience and following the vision that God has placed in our hearts. And that's what God wants you to do, is start small and be obedient. Often, doing big things, it really equates to doing a whole lot of little things. How do you eat an elephant? Just one bite at a time, right? You can't eat a whole elephant at one time. You have to start small. How did Moses get to Egypt? Just one step at a time. God has a big destiny for your life. It probably won't happen overnight. But don't despise the days of small beginnings, because the whole process of getting to that big thing is the process. It's the journey. Because throughout that journey, God develops things inside of you. He grows you and He stretches you. Start small. Maybe God's placed in your heart feeding the hungry. Well, you can't feed the whole world right now, but you can donate to the food bank. You can hand out food bags to the homeless. It starts small. Maybe you want to clothe the homeless. You can't clothe everybody, but you can clothe somebody. Start small. Whatever it is that God's placed in your heart, use what you have. Do what you can and follow after God. Lord, we just thank you for today. And God, I just thank you for this amazing opportunity that you have given us, Lord, to come and to worship in this free land. Lord, I thank you, Father, for every person by the sound of my voice. Lord, for every person that's sitting in front of me. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have given them a God-given destiny, Father. Lord, that it doesn't matter how young or how old that they are, that as long as they have breath in their lungs, that you have a destiny and a purpose for them, Father. And Lord, today I pray right now that if a dream has died, I pray that you resurrect that dream in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Father, that you breathe life into that dream, Father. And Lord, that you begin to give wisdom, Father, where discouragement has set in, Father, and where people have become complacent, Father. Lord, that you breathe life into them and that you give them new vision, Father, that you give them wisdom, Father. Lord, that you give them patience to start with the small things, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father, Lord, for being with your people today, Father. Lord, give them wisdom and strength to do what you've called them to do, and let them never lose sight that it starts small to get to the greater things. And Lord, we just thank you for that, and we praise you for that. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do, but there's one thing that we can never do. And that one thing is we cannot save ourselves. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the way to salvation. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus has the power to do that. But the good news is that Jesus will save anyone who is willing to come to Him. And if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, or if you're coming back home, maybe during this time of isolation, you've realized, hey, I'm not where I need to be, and I've fallen away in my relationship with God. Today is your day. And all you have to do is repeat after me this prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I will live for you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's celebrate. If you prayed that prayer, you made the greatest decision of your life. The greatest decision of your life. Let's praise Him. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for salvations and the miracles that are taking place. Lord, we just give you honor and glory, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just praise you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. Lord, we just thank you for being with us this week as we travel and as we go about our business. Be with us as we're in our homes. Lord, I thank you for an encounter in people's homes as they're still sheltered in place. God, I thank you that whenever we get restrictions lifted off of us, that this parking lot is going to be full. God, that down the Summit Road, God, that it's going to be full, Father. Lord, I thank you for a great revival taking place, Father, that people are taking the time to reset and get back to what's important, Father, and that's you. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the reset in our hearts, Father. Lord, be with the church, Father, as we're ministering to the hurting, Father. And Lord, as we're being with the sick, Lord, be with us, guide us, Father, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for being with all of our church people, whether they see me right now, Father, by car or by internet, Father. Touch their life, Father. Lord, you know what they face. You know of what's hurting. You know of what needs to be mended. You know of restoration that needs to take place. You know of financial miracles that need to happen. And God, we thank you that when we say in your name that it is done. And God, I thank you, Father, for doing things that have never been done before, Father. Lord, I just thank you for moving in a mighty, mighty way, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that Moses parting the Red Sea, Father, is nothing compared to what is to come. That was an Old Testament miracle, Father, and that your Bible, that the Bible says that moving forward, that we're going to see more miracles than what they saw in the Old Testament. That what you're doing now is nothing compared to what we're going to see in the future. God, we just thank you for having your way, Father. Be with us this week, Father. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. And we thank you for everything that you've done in our life. In Jesus' name we pray.